Reading from Brihadbhagavatamrita, chapter 6, text 89.
Shrutvate prativishvasya sarva sarala manasa avatritim samalocha vankaram dadur atmasu.
The residents of Vajra, all simple-hearted people, trusted Nanda's words. Thinking about your loving affection, they accepted the jewelry and put it on their bodies. Commentary. The Vrajavasis felt no special pleasure in adorning their bodies with this jewelry, but they did it anyway to satisfy Krishna. It was not in their nature to doubt other people's motives, and they found it especially hard to distrust Krishna.
Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmulatam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Maha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Nayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Greetings from New York City. Pray for me that I can somehow speak something on behalf of Sri Prabhupada. Wonderful weekend, but extremely exhausting. A wonderful program at Gopiki Shores. Just wonderful. We had our Julan. And we had our Julan out in the city. That was really also quite wonderful. Okay, so the Brihadbhagavatamrita. Very wonderful book, The Essence of the Bhagavatam. And we're seeing the essence in terms of devotees' love for God, love for Krishna. Selflessness and the purity of that love manifests in various devotees on Narada's search. I'm in New York, so you can hear those sounds that I say on the street. Narada's search for the topmost devotee, and he's come to Dwarka. Search of Uddhava, who has some intimacy with Krishna, because he's not just a servant. He's a parishad, a nishkoriya, a trusted servant, almost like a friend. It's a confidant. Not every servant is a confidant. Not every servant is a confidant. And when he comes to Uddhava, I'm kind of repeating the story again, probably try to make it a shorter way. I like to give visual sometime. Well, Krishna's in his bedroom, his cloth covered over his head in an apparently depressive or disturbed state. Uddhava and other close associates, some that been to Krishna Vrindavan, are on the veranda, the porch. Narada comes looking in and
somehow in the commotion. And part of the commotion is in response to Uddhava's reply to Narada that you're the best devotee, and he says, my pride as such was crushed to dust. Crushed to dust. I mean, crushed to dust. Obliterated. Nothing left of that pride, which is an indication. It's a bhav. It's an appreciation of what he saw in Vrindavan, of the depth of the love of the residents of Vrindavan in agonizing separation from Krishna. And the discussion at hand is why Krishna is not responding to that love, apparently. Why he's not coming back to Vrindavan, despite the fact that the residents of Vrindavan are near death in that separation from him. And in the section that we're here trying to put the whole thing in context, Padmavati, Krishna's aunt, the wife of Kamsa, when I think it was Devaki. It's all based on this deep affection for Krishna. The separation of the residents of Vrindavan is deep affection for Krishna. The sentiments of the people in Dwarka who don't want him to go is also deep affection for Krishna. The people who want him to go because they want Krishna, they love Krishna, they want to do the right thing. You have to pacify these people that they're near death. So Devaki, she says, basically, just give them whatever they want. I'm kind of getting a little bit lost in the details today. Give them whatever they want. Give the residents of Vrindavan whatever they want, the separation from Krishna. And then I'm going to have to look a little bit how we got here. Anyway, it's a little complex. I shouldn't make excuses for anything in class, but okay, give them whatever they want. And Uddhava, he's concerned for Krishna and Krishna's, that Krishna do the right thing. And right now he's in the process of explaining to Krishna that you really should return. And don't just send them something because this was done before. Previously, Krishna, the first time, he sent Nanda Maharaj back with some gifts for Krishna, for the residents of Vrindavan. And the gopis were absolutely devastated. The Res Mother Yasoda was devastated. They wanted Krishna. And this kind of, here, I'm not coming back, but here's some nice gift. It just pained them just greatly. They're not interested in anything but Krishna. That's the nature of someone who has pure love. When you have pure love, that person's your life. And without that person, you have no life. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, moment of your separation is 10 years or more. In your absence, the whole world is vacant. In your absence, the whole world is vacant. There's no meaning to life without Krishna. And that's really true unalloyed love. It is actually such a thing as love of Godhead, and it is love to the highest degree. Then a person who possesses that love has no meaning to life without that love, without the object of love. So the gopis were absolutely devastated. So Uddhava is explaining this, and that the only way that the residents of Vrindavan were pacified is if Nanda Maharaj because Nanda Maharaj gave him the gift and then he felt terrible. When he saw how devastated they were, they became angry at them. You come back empty-handed and you give us these trinkets of gifts, whatever you give it, they've given us compared to Krishna, it's nothing. And that's what a devotee realizes, that without Krishna we have nothing. That's what Dhruva Maharaj realized when he aspired for a planet greater than his grandfather, Lord Brahma, and when he achieved it, but at the same time he achieved it, he also achieved deep devotion for Krishna. Then he was looking at that planet as broken glass compared to the diamonds of Krishna consciousness. Really, everything else besides that pure awareness relatively has little value, relatively. That pure awareness of God, ultimately. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam that explains why should we worship Krishna, because artha, it's real. What's real is God. Maya means to see something. Illusion is to see something as separate from God. Of course, you can see many things in relationship to God, but that's where they get their value, in relationship to God. Outside of relationship to God, things do not have meaning because they enter into the temporal realm, which is full of duality. It's a place where you invest in something that will be gone. And therefore is full of duality. So those who have full awareness, Krishna is their life, fully. And everything becomes secondary to them. Doesn't mean it's not important, but it's important ultimately in relationship with that goal. It has no importance within itself. But it's important, but in relationship to that goal and how it brings you towards that goal. I give a definition of dharma. September 19th, I'll speak again at Yoga Maya. I'll give a definition of dharma basically, I look at it from different angles. One is that Dharma is our duty. It's also our essence, because what our duty is, it depends on what we are. And therefore, Dharma also does activities that bring you closer to what you are. And that's the science that's given in the scriptures applied practically. What you do and what you don't do is based on what will bring you closer to God. What is right in any circumstance is what will bring you closer to God. And therefore, in a particular circumstance, the peculiar attachment may be Dharma, when that's what you need to come closer to God. For another person, that same object of desire, his duty is to renounce it, because that attachment will bring him further from his understanding of God. So this is the pure platform. I always like Prabhupada in the introduction of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya means life force, Charita means character, Amrita means mortality. What is the character of the life force in eternality? There's the character, and we're talking the soul and the body. The body is our vehicle, and it has a purpose when it's used to fulfill its destination, which is to eventually live in eternality. Chaitanya Charitamrita, the character, the life force of eternality. What does that look like? What is that life? That's Chaitanya Charitamrita. I gave class this morning, and I was speaking that, what should an ideal center of Krishna consciousness be? It just shouldn't be something that's for proselytizing. If that alone doesn't work, it has to be something that exemplifies that life in eternality. It should be demonstrated, because it's a very attractive thing, because it's a life full of service and love. And when that's created, it's something that good people will want to appreciate and perhaps even associate with. And so one of the reasons we read the scriptures, we read Krishna's pastimes, Chaitanya's pastimes, is to get a sense of that life so we can have an aspiration for it. That begins with that. That's why exemplars are so important. That your ideals must be presented properly to your children, to you, whoever you're responsible for. If you have an ideal, then the ideal, and when the ideal is presented properly, it's attractive. I know many people, or some people, get turned off to Krishna consciousness when they see a dichotomy between the ideal and how people live. You know, it's described, I was reading this morning in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Jagannath Mishra, it described that he was self-controlled, he was pure, he was peaceful, and he had no attraction to material opulence. Rather, whatever opulence he got by the influence of his transcendental son was given in charity to the Brahmins or Vaishnavas. Because why? Because he's not self-centered, he's not looking at the world, he's an object of his desires, and therefore, money or wealth takes on a different perspective. If your objective is egotistical. That requires a lot of money, because you need money, allows one to control their environment to a certain extent, for one's desires. But if one's objective is not their own desires, but for the pleasure of God, but one's personal, it reduces one's personal need. Of course, one should be maintained. And therefore, if more money comes, it doesn't go simply for raising one's standard of living. It's used in the service of God. I see its tendency generally is, I see, for Americans not to be so good with money as Indians are, for example. And there's a tendency, if one is not in a good spiritual consciousness, that money simply raises one's standard of living. Someone's living at a certain money, and they're struggling to get by, and they have four times as much money, and they're still struggling to get by. So, peaceful, self-control, all these are the qualities of the devotee. But it's a result of that person's devotion. It's a result because that's not their objective. They're peaceful. Because that's not their objective, materialistic, they're self-control. Because their self-identity is in terms of being the object of pleasure for God and others, they're very, very loving. Anyway, the verse we are today is the residents of Vraja. They're sarala. Manasa. Sarala is such an important word. Sarala means very simple. It's very, very simple. It's just kind of like if you're somehow called to testify and you have to lie, it's very, very complicated. You have to tell the truth. It's very, very simple. So it's the same way. If you're a devotee and your desire is to serve Krishna, and everything becomes very simple. If you want to be the enjoyer and controller, then so much complexity. But very, very simple. And here they say, trust it on this word. What's not this word? They're devastated that Krishna won't come back. He said, but Krishna promised he'd come back. Before Nanda Maharaj went, he said, and you tell them I'll come back. So, okay, then they felt pacified. They're simple, trusting people. Rich Vasis are so simple and so pure. Even the fact that they're worshiping, when Krishna stopped the sacrifice to Govardhan, he's preaching to Swada, stop this sacrifice. And we know that there's a certain chastisement that why are they not exclusively worshiping Krishna? When you water the roots of the tree, the leaves and branches become replenished. Why do they have to worship the demigod? They have relationship with Krishna. But the fact that they are worshiping Indra, it just shows that this is a grateful people. They're getting rains and they want to worship. Of course, ultimately it's coming from Krishna, but this is the government officer. They're simple. They're grateful people. And they accepted the jewelry they put on their bodies, but they're not attached. That's not what Krishna consciousness means. Your love, your happiness is the love, is the pleasure and happiness of your beloved. So the only reason you would accept jewelry, the only reason to accept opulence is for Krishna's pleasure. Just like Srimati Radharani, I spoke yesterday at Yogamaya place, and I spoke about the swing festival. So I gave myself 6 minutes to speak because that's my principle. If I'm asked to speak in between a kirtan, I don't want to speak more. But it's amazing, if you think about it, how much you can say in 6 minutes. But I wanted to explain something about the spiritual world that would give relevance for the people. So the first thing I asked them is, what is the correlation? What is the correlation between devotion and love, and devotion or love and beauty? What is the correlation? And the correlation is when you love and when you have devotion, you offer the best. So I was explaining to people, therefore, our conception of the spiritual world, our conception of the spiritual world is something of beauty. And I'm trying to explain, because they had a beautiful Julad decorated. So our conception is one of beauty. You offer the best to Krishna. I described to the people, I said, look, Radha-Bhutra Radharani's fragrance. She's fragrant. Well, Krishna, I described when she's in a garden of forest of Kadamba flowers, a forest of Kadamba flowers, or magnolias, or fragrance. Krishna could be 10 miles away, and he breathes. What is that fragrance? He smells Radharani. So what's that? Because she loves Krishna. She's the most pleasing to Krishna's senses. So therefore, opulence is there, taste is there in the spiritual, for the different consciousness, for the pleasure of God, at the highest level. And for our pleasure, kamasinandiyapritya, we enjoy as much as we need. Again, Vorjan put it aptly, we enjoy to live, we don't live to enjoy. So that necessity is there. On the highest platform, it is for Krishna. So here's these jewelries, rubies, diamonds, rings, and pearls, just to attract fools to the spiritual world, dashing, handsome, and carefree. Something, go, Swami. The history behind that song. The people to preach thought they would have the opulence to attract others, but obviously they themselves were attracted to the opulence, so to diminish their purity and therefore the potency to preaching too. But we can taste such nice food in a spirit of love. Someone who cooks for others out of love, they may taste the food, but what they're tasting is love, the happiness they feel at the other person's enjoyment. So they're accepting this jewelry. Buddha is relating. They accepted the jewelry. But Krishna, please don't again send some jewels. You have to come back. Buddha said, I also promised and pacified them that Krishna said he would return. Now, don't send someone else again with some gift. They will die. And this is how the residents thought. When Sri Krishna returns, he will see how we followed his order by accepting these remnants of his enjoyment. Then he will show us special mercy. Okay. When Krishna returns, that is hope. He will see how we followed his order by accepting the remnants of his enjoyment. Of his enjoyment. Krishna has enjoyed the food. Now we will accept it out of love for him, experiencing by our sense pleasure some facsimile how the object of our love enjoyed when he tasted that. So now the Vrajvasis comment, they consider themselves already recipients of Krishna's mercy. But they know that his mercy can always increase. The more they please him by their exclusive surrender, the more he will favor them. Therefore, just to please Krishna, they feign happiness even in their greatest misery. And just like a feast, you enjoy, you have to enjoy, because it's in honor of someone else. So we enjoy a feast, but in honor of someone else. So they thought like this, this is what they're saying, but then you never came. They thought, they put on the jewelry, Krishna will return, but then you never came back. And what did you do? Instead, you sent me. And when they heard the message you sent with me, they almost died from disappointment. I will be there in my Bhava manifestation. They almost died when you get that message. Wow, can you imagine the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan, how much they love Krishna? 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 And what is their love? At first he sent Nanda, and Uddhava, and then Balaram, and he will return. And what did they feel then at the culmination of 96 years of separation? When they finally went to Kurukshetra, and the Radharani sees Krishna, but he's in the vesh of a king, surrounded by his retinue and his opulence. And therefore, he has to manifest the power of his position, and to do so has to check his intimate side, which is the side of Krishna which Radharani has relationship with. So what was Radharani feeling at Kurukshetra, and what were her feelings? Taking Krishna back to Vrindavan, Jagannath back to Vrindavan. And what was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasting when he was entering deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into those fields, especially in the Rath Yatra? Again, I remember Rathi, I like what he said about internals, but it's good. But what was the internal story? You always have to see what is the internal story. But you never came. You sent me instead. Commentary, Uddhava complains that although the Vajra devotees acted with simple honesty, Krishna reciprocated in a completely contrary way. To send through Uddhava a message telling the Vrijvasis to be satisfied with meditating on him as the all-pervading super soul was nothing less than a cruel deception. In the message Krishna read, Krishna told them to the gopis, quote, you are never actually separated from me, for I am the soul of all creation. Just as the elements of nature, ether, air, water, and earth are present in every created thing, so I am present with everyone's mind, life, air, intelligence, and senses, and also within the physical elements and the modes of material nature. This message from Krishna shattered the Vrijvasi's hope of his returning. Uddhava continues, seeing them so despondent, I made every effort to keep them alive by promising you would surely come back. Then I returned here. And then he left and he said, I promised them. And now we're at that crucial moment again, Krishna, where they're dying and you're thinking of sending someone else or sending something to pacify them. Don't do this, you will crush them. And great devotees, when they are chanting Hare Krishna, they're meditating on these things. And they're meditating on these feelings of selflessness and purity. And they're trying to understand them. And they're praying for these feelings. Because they know that this is the eternal nature of the soul, that this is the real spiritual consciousness. It's a particle of consciousness which carries the love of Krishna in his heart, which flows like the river of train in the churning river surrounded by the embankments of separation and union. They try to understand. They meditate on these pastimes. But again, the internal story, what are the sentiments there? That are the sentiments of perfection that I want in my heart. They're meditating like that. To attain you, these devotees then renounce all enjoyment of the senses and all material shelter. Please ask your elder brother here what state they are in. Commentary. And after all this, Krishna only sent Balaram instead of going to Vraja himself. Uddhava is loath to describe the effect upon the Vrijvasis of Krishna's failure to visit them again, because hearing it will be too painful for Krishna himself and everyone else present. After Uddhava's visit to Vraja, the residents totally gave up gratifying their senses and abandoned their homes to wander the forest. This is what happened. While describing Lord Balaram's trip to Gokul, the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam says, quote, the Vrijvasis renounced all material possessions for the sake of lotus-eyed Krishna. Renunciation is based on objective. When your objective is Krishna, strongly, then you give up those things which have no use in Krishna's service. This is the Vaishnava. Devotees can become great renunciates, but not by practicing tyag, by practicing bhakti. The six Goswamis were living under different trees. They were drinking buttermilk. Prabhupada said they were shaking. Not that it had no effect, but they were just so consumed that material necessities had little effect. Ideally, a Vaishnava eats, he should just eat just something to keep the body together. Shouldn't be the big thing. Of course, we exchange love, giving, taking, prasadam. But basically, when the objective is spiritual, when there's a mission, when there's an internal development to cultivate in our hearts, other things really become secondary. When Uddhava had come to Vrindavan early and had seen the gopis headed by Sri Radhika in a different state, happy and decorated with fine jewelry, the same ornaments Nanda had brought back from Mathura, the 10th canto describes what Uddhava saw about arriving in Vraj. Pulling on the churning ropes with dangled arms, the women of Vraja shone with the splendor of their jewels, which reflected the light of the lamps. Their hips, breasts, and necklaces moved about, and their faces, anointed with reddish kumkum, glowed radiantly, the luster of their earrings reflecting from their cheeks. So I guess they accepted the jewelry with the hope that was crushed and when Buddha became that. As the ladies of Braja loudly sang the glories of lotus-eyed Krishna, their songs blended with the sound of their churning, ascended to the sky, and did away with all inauspiciousness in every direction. Upon hearing Uddhava's message, however, the mood of the Braja residents changed. Their hope for Krishna's return was destroyed, and they became more unhappy than before Nanda had consoled them. Uddhava suggests that Krishna can ask Balaram about the current state of the Vrajvasis, which Balaram has seen with his own eyes. Quote, "If you doubt my words," Uddhava replies, "surely you will believe your elder brother." If you think I'm joking, how devastated they were, and see the difference when Balaram came after me. I assume it was after, I think it was. When Balaram came back, you should see what he saw. Okay, that's probably where I should stop now for today. I did better than I expected. I guess this way has a way of nourishing the great Bhagavatamrita. Are there any questions? Hello? Anybody like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Oh, Gail, thank you. For a second, I thought, my God, I was just speaking and there was no one there. Okay. Hello, yes, Gail.
I'm just saying hi, Krishna.
You're just saying hi. Okay, great. Wasn't it nice, that program on Friday?
Yes, it was very nice.
It was nice. I was so happy to see your husband.
Yeah, I was happy he got to see you also.
Okay. Thank you. I'm just thinking all those good jokes. But maybe I'll tell some to the audience. Long, long time ago, I used to watch this comedian called Rodney Dangerfield. Probably goes back before some of you. And Gail's husband is also a big fan. So when I meet him, we share some of the jokes. And his whole thing is I don't get any respect. Right? He has a great routine. So it goes like this, you know. I was feeling so depressed. And I was thinking of committing suicide. I called the suicide hotline. They encouraged me. I don't get respect. And the other one, he said, I don't know if this is appropriate, but I'm probably so, like, I've been up so late every night, getting up early, and then kind of got up today, bathed, went and gave, you know, class, but okay, there's another one. I muted the phone, so I can't handle all the hysterical laughter. Maybe I'm just completely out of character, but here it goes anyway. I love this way, you know. My wife asked me for a home improvement loan. So I gave her the money, and she asked me to leave. Okay. Anybody else have a question? Thank you, Gail, for inspiring me. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Wow.
Hello, Maharaj.
Who is that? Hi, Bob.
Maybe. Indrani.
Okay. And yes, Indrani. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Yes,
okay.
I have longed to reach a point of loving Krishna. Thank you so much.
Just to hear your voice is so nice. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Oh, hey. Eka Chakra. Wow. We saw your former residents of Boston. They came down to the program. Yeah, Mooney. Those Gopi Shore programs, they're just so
So it's the ultimate, really sane presentation of Krishna consciousness. And it was just, anyway, it was just nice. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Aisha. All right, Krishna.
Good.
I get it. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Ooh, Nanda Dulal. Okay, you know, I'm coming to the Washington area.
Okay, Maharaj.
On the weekend of like the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. Maybe on my way back or something. But wait, then maybe I can stop in and say hello. You live how far?
I live in almost in 15, 16 miles.
Oh, that's not too far. Okay, before I go, I'll contact you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Shastra Das.
Okay, Shastra, it's time for us to have a little discussion, you know, organizing our Puri tour. Okay, great.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Okay,
thank you. Is that Chaitanya Priya?
Yes, it is.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, lunch, a couple of people, and this is the real chapter.